Hello, friends. This is the Out of This World radio program with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM in Bellingham, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of my program is to raise consciousness and to make this planet a much better and happier place to live. And I know with your help and everyone's help, we can do it. We can make this planet a much better place to live. Out of This World Radio is also one of the fastest growing spiritual and UFO programs in the world, with listeners in over 60 countries around the world, and is also one of the most popular radio talk shows in Seattle. Today we have a wonderful program. It's actually a pre-record of an interview I did 2 days ago with Alexis Soares and Michiko Hayashi of the Moto Peace Project in South America. It's a pre-recording. It's a recording of an interview I had with them. They are both in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And for my listeners in South America, welcome to the program, and I know this will be really interesting. Alexis Soares is actually a naturopathic medical doctor, and she treats patients with amethyst, amethyst beds, actually. Amethyst is a very powerful love gemstone, and what she does is that she has her patients lie on top of this bed of amethyst, and she's able to cure many diseases with it. She'll talk a little bit about it on the first hour of the program here. And also, too, both of them, both Alexia and Michiko, will be talking about the wonderful work of the Moto Peace Project in Brazil and in South America. Michiko is now on visiting three or four different countries. She first went into Peru. Now she's in Brazil, and then from there she'll be going to Chile, to Santiago, Chile, where she will be giving a lecture before somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 people on the value of teaching the value of teaching children love and gratitude. The theory of her work is that if you teach children the value of love and gratitude between the ages of 3 and 12, by the time they're young adults, we will have a new generation of people on this planet who are far more interested in getting along and working and living in harmony rather than engaging in crime or endless wars in the Middle East, which last for 30 or 40 years. Anyway, I'd like to I want to give a minute for my wonderful sound engineer, Eric, to get the tape ready. But before we begin, I want to thank the many sponsors and supporters of this my radio show, including Carol, who's been doing wonderful web work in designing the website and been a great supporter, as well as Michiko Hayashi of the Moto Peace Project and all their wonderful staff, Dr. Nomoto, Hiro, as well, Emoto of the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, and as well as Ann Nelson, a business professor at Walla Walla College, who's been a great supporter. And, of course, I also want to thank my angelic and earthly family for their wonderful support, as well as my sound engineer, Eric Ryder, and my wonderful station manager, Eric Crema. So with that, I'd like to go ahead, and we can start our recording now. It's a pre-record, and then I'll be coming in toward the end of the hour with some comments.
Hello, friends. We're on the line now with Michiko Hayashi and her friend Alexia Soares, coming to us live from Rio de Janeiro in South America. And I'm so happy to have them both on the air today. Michiko has been doing a wonderful tour of South America. She started in Peru, and now she went to São Paulo, and then now to Rio de Janeiro, and giving a series of lectures and seminars on the wonderful work of the Emoto Peace Project. And Michiko, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Ted.
Hi. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad that you could come on today. And your friend Alexi is there?
Yes. Hi, Ted. I'm here as well. Thank you for having us in the show.
Oh, you're doing such wonderful work. And I just wanted to share your work with my many listeners in the United States, Canada, and around the world. Michiko, please tell me a little bit about what you've been doing down there and how long will you be there?
Okay. Well, I left Seattle on the 12th of March, and then I went to Lima, Peru. Well, the reason or purpose of this South American trip for me is to go to where all the children are, many children are, and talk to them, teach them about water, importance of water, and words and thoughts, and what water is, the truth of water, to all the children, so that they will learn about the importance of water, and then they will not be using any bullying other children or having the violence within the family or outside the family. And that's one of the main purpose, and so that they will bring the bright future in the future.
Nice. And I think you've told me before too, Michiko, that the theory behind your project, your wonderful project, is to teach children love and gratitude between the ages of 3 and 12, so that when they become young adults, they'll want to live in a harmonious world, and they won't want to commit crimes and engage in domestic violence and go off to war. Is that the purpose of the program, Michiko?
Exactly. That is the purpose of this, my trip.
Wonderful.
This project.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, the thing is, could you give our many listeners around the world too, Michiko, a little bit of background on when Dr. Emoto started this wonderful project?
Well, it was 2005 in May when he was invited to the United Nations headquarters office to give a keynote speech at the conference that was given. And at that time, as part of the decade of world water era, he told everyone at the venue, at the conference, that he will be distributing the children's version of Message from Water to all children on Earth, because if the 10% of whole entire population learns about the importance of love and gratitude, then the world will shift the world itself will be the bright and happy, peaceful future right away. So that's why it's easier to teach children the message from water, the importance of love and gratitude. And that started in 2005 at the conference at headquarters office in New York.
Yeah, at the United Nations.
At the United Nations, that's right.
Wonderful, wonderful. What a wonderful thing you're doing. Where have you been so far in South America?
Well, I was in Lima, Peru, and then I came to São Paulo, Brazil, 2 days ago, and I gave two events in São Paulo. One was for children with 136 children, and then today I gave a lecture to about 120 adults. And then after that, I flew with Alexia to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
Wonderful. And what kinds of things will you be doing down there?
In Rio, we will be giving lectures to children in the tomorrow. And then after that, we're going to a university, one of the universities. And dean of the university would like us to give the presentation on Emoto Peace project, because it is such an important project for the world peace. So I will be giving the lecture to those faculties and adults in university about the message from water. And then after that, the following day, I will be giving the lecture to children and giving the children's events, more like a fun event, playing with kids and teaching them a message from water to children in fun way. And that's the following day. So I have several more events to do here in Rio.
Wonderful. The reason I'm asking, Michiko, is that I actually have many listeners of my program in Rio.
And oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I do. It's a worldwide program. It's the fastest growing spiritual and metaphysical radio program in the world, with listeners in over 60 countries, including Rio de Janeiro. And the reason I mention that is because, is it open to the public where they could come, or do they need an invitation?
It's open.
Open?
Yeah, it's open, except for the fact that, unfortunately, like the places where we're going, Ted, they have a limitation of seats. And from what I understand, we're actually going to a very huge auditorium of a school that is actually... they have classes for children of all different ages. but they sit around 300 people. And from what I said, they already have all the seats taken. So it's been an amazing success. So unfortunately, it's because we won't really have room for more people.
Well, that's understandable, but I know I'll be getting questions on that from my listeners down in Rio. How about in Santiago, Chile? Is that where you'll be going next, Michiko?
Right. After Rio, I will be flying to Santiago, Chile.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Ted, I just wanted to mention to you that, you know, if your listeners from Rio would like to have more information on what's going on in Brazil right now, there is a website that they can go to, which is my website, the website of my company, that is called inspireproductions.com.br. So Inspire Producoins, and the people who are in Brazil, they will understand that. It's Inspire Productions spelled in Portuguese, basically, which would be inspireproducoins.com.br. And so under my website, there is a tab that is a Motor Peace Project tab, and they can go there, and there is the whole itinerary and the schedule of where we're going to be.
Could you, for the benefit of my listeners in Rio, could you please say repeat that in Portuguese, please? So they are
sure. The website is inspireproducoins.com.br, and no cedilha, sem cedilha, sem tio. www.inspireproducoins.com.br.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're
so
welcome.
Well, I hope that many, many people will come to the events, even though, I mean, you know, the seats are all full, but maybe there may be some ways that they can come in.
Yeah.
You know, they can check with the website too.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, as you know, I'm a psychic. I come from a psychic family, and I've been in touch with the other side for about 21 years, and I have been in touch with Dr. Emoto. He says hello to both of you, of course, and he's with you.
Oh, hello, my dear Dr. Emoto.
He's laughing now.
Well, I love him so much.
I know.
He loves you too. He really loves you too, and he's so proud of
you.
So proud of both of you for the wonderful work you're doing. And he wanted to mention a couple things on air as a future direction for the Emoto Peace Project and for his, you know, for you, both of you. And that would be in the area of health. And I know that you do wonderful work with the Angel Water in Fukushima. But he wants that expanded, actually. He's telling me, and I know you know a lot about this, more than I do, certainly, about his previous medical practice where he would help people with various health conditions using the same water techniques or the same Haro techniques, vibration techniques that he used with water. Michi, you know a lot more about that than I do. Would you like to explain a little bit about what Dr. Emoto did helping people in their health problems?
Okay, well, before he started to do this water research, he was an alternative medicine doctor. Mm-hmm. And he was healing. The patients would come with a severe disease. And what he used to do was using a Haro device, he would just see what was the cause of the patient's disease. And then after that, he would find out the cause of the disease, he would find the number or the number to cancel the disease, the cause of the disease. And then he puts that information to cancel the cause of the disease into water, distilled water. And then patients drink their own water. Then these patients would start curing themselves without having to take any medicine or going to the Western medicine doctors.
That is just fascinating. So they would take water samples, and then they themselves would direct love and light and love and gratitude to a particular bottle of water, for example, and then they would drink it. Is that right, Michi?
Right. Well, but it's not particularly love and gratitude water, because individual water has their individual information in the water of to cancel why they became that disease.
Fascinating.
Sometimes people got disease because of the toxin, or sometimes because of the stress from the work, or sometimes from other chemical that they take.
Ted, if I can talk a little bit about that as well, because I'm a therapist, I'm a naturopath in Brazil, and I just finished a postgraduate study on natural alternative healing.
Wonderful.
And this subject really fascinates me. I think it's so great. And what Michiko is saying is exactly when we find out that there is a patient that has a certain condition, for example, cancer or diabetes or whatever it is, there's always like an emotional reason behind the imbalance with the energy on the body. So what she's saying here is that with the HADO device and these types of devices that are coming to the planet right now, that we're being able to use them, you will basically find out what is the vibration that is out of balance, and you create the counter vibration to that vibration so that you can start allowing the body to heal itself.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I wanted to tell you that when I was in Egypt about 15 years ago, 14, 15 years ago, I visited Luxor on the Southern Nile, and there were hieroglyphics there from Egyptian doctors 5,000 years ago, and they classified diseases as diseases. In other words, they split the word disease into two infinitives, and they said there was always a spiritual reason for any physical problem, and this fits in exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so fascinating.
It's true. I mean, disease comes from disease. I mean, they need disease, you know, rest.
Right. Well, I know Dr. Emoto he's with me now, and he says he knows you have a lot on your plate, but for the future, he'd like to emphasize the health aspects of his work to help people, get rid of diseases and to feel better. And it's just something he wants to share with you today. And we can talk about that later off air.
Okay.
But that was...
I know, Ted, sorry to cut you off. I know that the office Masaru Emoto, they have been developing this device. And hopefully that device will soon be done and ready to be sold to the public, because it's something that is wonderful.
Well, it's supposed to be ready by May by the HADO Instructor School. That's what we're working on right now.
Wonderful.
Because I already work with such technology in Brazil. I have a friend who has that similar device. And it's so important. I think if Office Masaru Emoto is able, in line with what Dr. Emoto is saying to you, I'm so in line with that kind of theory, because right now I'm focused on helping people heal through a natural way. So if we can get these machines ready to go, I think it will be a great service to humanity, because people can buy that and have the machine at home. Then they run a scan of their body and they understand what organ is out of balance, what organ has got low energy.
Energy, yeah.
And then you will program the machine to
recover,
vibrate and, you know, give energy to that area so that it can recover. So it's really good to hear, Michiko, that we're going to have it by May.
By May, by HADO School. That's our plan.
How, if I may ask, not knowing how the machines work, how do they work? Do they read a person's aura, for example, or do they pick up certain vibrations?
The machine reads all your energy.
Interesting.
Your energy of that moment.
Wow.
It's sort of like the electric
magnetic field of that person.
It picks up all the meridians and, you know, the energy on the chakras. So, for example, if there is any particular organ that is not receiving energy for some reason, you can tell on the screen, you can actually visualize the areas where there is low energy through different symbols.
Right, so, or different colors. So when you see that your stomach is dark color, but even it's a different, several parts of a stomach. Mm-hmm. It's not just stomach, but it shows where in stomach is low energy, and where in stomach is high energies. So in particular place, you can just increase your energy and all that.
Fascinating. This is just incredible. Dr. Emoto is telling me now, not in a negative way, but just to be aware of it. Here in the United States, for example, we have a whole health industry built on sometimes the medical profession, with all due respect here in the United States, they're not so much interested in perhaps curing diseases as they are to treating the symptoms. And that's particularly true with big pharmaceutical companies. But this would revolutionize the medical treatment here in the United States and elsewhere in the world, so that people would be truly cured of their diseases or whatever ails them. And this is just a wonderful, wonderful thing that you're doing.
Well, thank you. I think it will be expanding and spreading around the world too. Mm-hmm. And it will be. See, this is something that we can protect preliminary mm-hmm. before we get sick, so mm-hmm. that we won't have to go to the preventional medicine, so that we don't have to go to the doctors, medical doctors, after we get sick.
Right. That's wonderful.
And a comment about that as well, Ted, is that, you mentioned how sometimes the Western medicine doctors don't necessarily, or they are not necessarily focused on the healing of the patient, meaning they will give pills to the patient, but right. they're not necessarily curing the cause of that disease. And like I said, I'm right now, my main purpose in life is to work on an alternative medicine type of practice, which I am doing in Brazil. I am right now very lined up with a very powerful doctor here. And I think we as a team in the Emoto Peace Project, and I'm so glad you're talking about Dr. Emoto's wishes to focus more on health, because this is really right now my main focus. I agree with you that the pharmaceutical industry, there is so much interest, that is money interest behind everything they do. I have cases in Brazil that I can give you as an example of medical doctors that have discovered a drug that is based on like a plant that can actually literally cure cancer in a short period of time. The problem is, this doctor went to the pharmaceutical industry to try and get a patent for this medicine and have people be able to buy it, because it would be a very cheap way to heal cancer. And guess what? They just told him they're not interested in it because, and I have to be honest with you, I'm sorry, I'm saying it out of my heart and it's the truth. If you go to a chemotherapy session, it costs a lot of money to do chemotherapy. And why would the pharmaceutical industry want to, exchange that for another drug that is simple, is cheap, and can cure everything? So, unfortunately, it's going to be a big battle. But, Dr. Emoto and the whole company can count on me to help spread the word about the harder machine, because I think this has to be the future of health in this planet.
Well, I promote the Emoto Peace Project and Dr. Emoto's wonderful work on every radio show that I do, and
that's
what I do too. And I want to say this too, that there are so many wonderful doctors and nurses out there in the health field.
Sure.
But they only know what they're taught in school and what they're exposed to.
That's exactly so right. It's not their fault.
No, it isn't their fault. No.
I'm so glad you're saying that. Exactly. Oh, yeah. I agree with you 100%.
Oh, yeah. Well, as one example, the depression pill industry by Big Pharma in the United States is a huge business. They've even got kids in our elementary schools starting as young as 6 and 7 on antidepressants, which I consider borderline criminal, to have kids hooked on these things when they're just growing up.
But one good thing, bright future. I see the bright future too, though.
Right.
Medical doctors. Well, I'm talking about Japan. I don't know about mm-hmm. the United States or here in Latin America. But in Japan, I started to see that many medical doctors have been realizing that there must be other ways to cure cancers and diabetes and other severe diseases without using the chemicals or medicine, Western medicine. and there are alternative medicines and foods that we should be eating, and just the overall holistic way they're seeing. So I'm seeing very bright future too.
Oh, I do too. I do too. Mm-hmm. I do too. I think the entire planet actually is shifting into the fifth dimension. And I believe, as I mentioned before in my other shows, Michiko and Alexia, that Nostradamus was right back in the 16th century, that we would be entering into 1,000 years of spiritual peace and development starting in the 2020s and the 2030s. And I think with your work and my radio show and everyone, all the light workers' efforts, that we're entering into this period of time, human history, early. And it's thanks to your wonderful efforts that humanity is progressing as fast as it is.
Wonderful. Well, thank you to you for this program, to radio program too, because you just have been contributing so much for the peace on earth, for bringing this peace on this entire earth and universe too,
Yes.
It's important. It's so important that you keep doing this.
Well, thank you so much for saying that, Michiko. I really appreciate it, Alexa. I've mentioned this before, but I wanted to reiterate it this again. That when I had Dr. Emoto on last July, July 25th, 2014, before he passed away in October, he went through his wonderful work. And then I asked him during the show whether his same techniques of love and gratitude would help create world peace. And he said it should work. And so we took a couple of minutes and we sent love and light and gratitude to the Palestinians and the Israelis in the Gaza Strip. For them to have a temporary ceasefire to exchange medical supplies and food supplies. And so we did some meditation, and I asked all my listeners around the world to participate. That was about 3:30 p.m. on Friday, July 25th, Seattle time. And when I got to where I was staying at about 8:30 p.m., I turned on the TV and I turned on CNN. And lo and behold, the Israelis and the Palestinians had spontaneously agreed to a 12-hour ceasefire starting at 9 p.m.
Wow,
Seattle time.
That's amazing, Ted. That's really nice.
I was speechless. I was so happy that happened. I did a press release and sent it out the next day. The major news sources unfortunately didn't cover it.
And you kind of wonder what
they cover. You know, they love to cover. I don't want to criticize major media.
All the negative stuff.
But they often cover, the latest traffic accidents and who killed who and the latest wars. And you get so tired of the negativity because there's so much good going on out there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That,
doesn't the good get all the publicity, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I know I've talked with people before about having a good news channel. A good news channel.
Right. Actually, Dr. Emoto and I wanted to create the good news channel.
Wonderful.
And we started to do that once before. Really.
Oh, wow.
Probably about five, six years ago. And I said, well, Dr. Emoto, there are just too many negative information, negative news, and I don't think news should be that negative. And I really want to start with a happy, positive news, so people can see that there are so many good things going around. There are so many people are doing something good around us. And he said, oh, it's a wonderful idea. Let's start doing it. So we started to do that. But I just could not keep on doing it because it was so difficult for me to collect all the good news from around us every day,
Well, I'd like to volunteer to start a program like that.
That would be
wonderful.
Wow, that's
that would awesome,
be fun,
Ted.
Fantastic.
You can count on us to feed you with good information from our country.
Send me some good information. That would be nice. That would be nice because, like Dr. Emoto is saying now, we do create our reality. And if you think positive things and have a good attitude, guess what? You have a positive, bright future. And if you think about negative things and dwell on the bad things, you'll create those very bad things
to
happen.
Exactly. That's law of the universe. That's right.
There is an overlay to all of this, and I think it's kind of a natural area to talk about just a little bit. Is that since 1954, the United States in particular has had an illegal treaty with some very nasty negative entities called the reptilians, where these aliens, they feed off negativity. And so the more wars we have on this planet, the more fighting, the more energy they actually get. But they're being phased out right now from my sources in the Galactic Alliance. And I think there's going to come a time when they'll be gone.
Oh, that's good news.
Yeah. Because I think that, I think the true nature of humanity is benevolent and positive.
Right, yeah. Exactly. I believe
definitely.
That, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because there has been a discussion in philosophical circles for centuries in the West and in the East, too, about what's the true nature of humanity. And I firmly believe it's a positive one, not a negative one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
That's right. I agree too.
I know.
So when we start sending out all the good news, happy news, something to make us feel, smile,
then
it's going to resonate.
Yeah.
I mean, people will resonate. It will go spreading.
Exactly. Like if you should see the people when we were talking about love and gratitude in our event today, people were getting so emotional.
So happy.
Because that resonates with them. They know that that's the right thing. Mm-hmm. So that speaks to what you're saying, Ted, which is, the nature of human being is good. Basically, we're all good in nature. But
that's right.
We have been, taught so many crazy things and we've been receiving all this negative information most of the time. So, people turn this way, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Well, that's true. And I agree with you. I think the future for humanity is extremely bright. We just have to stay the course. And I'm not saying that there's not challenges. Of course, we've got a lot of challenges ahead of us.
Oh, yeah. Until it starts going, it's a lot. There will be a lot of challenges. I think.
Mm-hmm.
But once it starts going, then it will be faster.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Until then, we have to put a lot of effort all together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and one thing I want to say too, Michiko, and I want to thank you and your friend Dr. Nomoto for coming all the way from Tokyo to attend my Galactic Wisdom Conference weekend before last. You both gave really wonderful presentations, and it's going to actually be on the web here soon.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for having us there, and we had a wonderful time, and just we were so honored to be there, to be able to talk to all these people about Emotive Peace Project and the science of a message from water.
Right, right. Your friend, Dr. Nomoto Yasu, is an interesting fellow because he comes from a scientific background, but during his lecture, he gave the scientific evidence, the foundation for metaphysical phenomenon with water. And he for those interested in so-called hard science, it's fascinating listening to him because he gives out the scientific basis for the kind of love and gratitude experiments that are just fascinating that he's doing.
Well, his purpose or what he would like to do is to make the spirituality and science, connect spirituality and science, so that they're not two different things. They are actually connected with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he wants to do. He wants to connect, to bridge them, make a bridge between them.
Right, right. And I think it's
hello?
Yes, I can hear you fine. Can you hear me okay?
Okay. Sure, yeah.
Okay, good. And I think it's part of the transformation of the entire planet into the fifth dimension, into this new golden age.
We're shifting toward that way, I think.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I think quantum physics is actually of great help in that sense, because for the longest time, people have been, doing esoteric things or whatever, spiritual things. And then, of course, the scientists were always challenging all of us. And now, with these kinds of findings, like Dr. Emoto's findings, as well as the findings from quantum physics, I think there is a lot of things that now can be explained.
And also, leading scientists around the world are mostly very spiritual too. They don't really say that in the scientific field or in their universities or research center, but I find them very spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And one thing I want to say is Professor Jerry Pollack of the University of Washington is a wonderful scientist and a wonderful researcher. And I really like his research. He's come out with a new book called The Fourth Phase of Water. And I think it's fascinating reading because he lays out, if you look at the book in one way, a scientific basis for metaphysical phenomena with water.
That's right.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, tell me.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
His study can explain in the very near future. His study can tell or prove that Dr. Emoto's message from water, that water can restore the memory, will be proved very soon in the future, scientifically. And it's almost there. So I'm really excited about that,
If you don't mind, I'd love to ask you a question too, Michiko and Alexia, about the role of the Supreme Being in all of this. Did Dr. Emoto ever mention the presence of God or a Supreme Creator in his work with water?
He said that the more he studied water, the more he believed that there was a supreme or the supernatural power that people would call him, if they want to call him God or creator of the universe, but the supernatural power is there.
Fascinating.
And I guess from my experience with Dr. Emoto during his classes, whether it was in his teachings here in Brazil or even there in Japan, one thing that was very interesting to me is that I heard him say very clearly in one of his slides that he thought that water was God.
Right.
And I think when he said that, at least to me, what he meant was that he thinks that God manifests himself or herself, whatever, through this element, which is water, because water is alive. Water is giving us messages. And so he thinks water is God.
Right. Well, he was saying until a couple of years ago, I would think, about 3 years ago, he was saying that water was the God's messenger. But toward the end, he started to say that water is God.
Yes, that's interesting.
Well, that's fascinating. That is fascinating. And for those,
when we think about it, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Water is really sacred because all the religion, we use water to cleanse ourselves.
That's true.
Yeah, before God.
That's
water
true.
Water is in everything. Imagine everything. If our body is 70% water, the body of our planet Earth is 70% water.
Correct.
If the air that we breathe has water in it, and everything is water. Water is God because God is in everything.
Everything. When you baptize, you baptize water.
Right.
Also right.
In India, they clean themselves in that river,
water.
Ganges.
Yeah. Here in Brazil, there is a very popular and strong religion that is called Spiritism, and they use fluids in water. They put water in the altar, and when people come for a certain treatment, we were talking about healing and everything. Mm-hmm. So people come for healing, and they bring a bottle of water, and they leave the water in the altar, and spiritual beings that are participating in that ceremony, they will put fluid into that water, which will heal that particular person.
Oh, wow.
So that's, you should come with me to see that one day.
I will.
That's fascinating. That is just, and actually that's actually very close to what Dr. Emoto did too, isn't it? It would be.
Yes.
Yeah, close
yes,
to
in
it.
In a way, yes. Right.
But he did it with a machine, and then the other people were doing it through on the spiritual side of things. Just fascinating.
Exactly.
Just fascinating.
It's the same thing, I guess.
It's the same because the energy that these spirits are putting into the
water
is to cancel water.
Water is healing us.
It's the vehicle.
Right. I wanted to ask you, I think you alluded to this earlier, Michiko. But I wanted to ask you about angel water at Fukushima. Could you explain a little bit about that? I'm sure my listeners would be fascinated.
Oh, okay. Well, this was invented or created by a Russian scientist when, Russian scientist was asked by Russian government when the Chernobyl accident happened, because there were certain people in certain area who did not get affected by radiation at that time. And the government wondered, Russian government, that back then Soviet Union, they wondered why these people did not get affected by this severe radiation. So they asked the scientists to do the research on that. So he made the team of the scientist team to do the study on that. Then finally, they learned that there was the water coming from the fountain, this natural water that people were drinking and cooking and doing everything using that water. So they started to study what kind of water that was. Mm-hmm. Then they learned that the water had a special structure, water structure, molecule structure in it. Mm-hmm. So, and that prevented them from all the radiation and virus and all the diseases also. So he spent 20 years to create the same molecule structure of water.
Wow.
Then he got the patent in the United States of that technology. And then he started to make this, produce this water. And when we had that Fukushima accident, then we received this water from government of Thailand to send to Fukushima, they send all these water to Japanese government, but the Japanese government did not receive it or accept it. So the government of Thailand asked Dr. Emoto to accept it and to deliver to Fukushima people, because this water would help them from radiation. So Dr. Emoto did it. After that, he named that water Angel Water to help all these people in Fukushima, especially children. So that's the water that we are delivering to Fukushima.
If I may ask a dumb question, Michiko.
Dumb question. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, Michiko and Lexa, to ask a dumb question, why on earth would the Japanese, not to criticize them, but I guess I am, why on earth would they refuse this miracle water that would help people of Fukushima stop them from getting cancer? Why on earth would they refuse the water that could help their health?
I don't know the truth, but what I think is that at that time, Fukushima, the nuclear plant exploded in March.
Mm-hmm.
And the water, the government of Thailand was so kind, so nice, so helpful, supportive, because they wanted to deliver the water as soon as possible.
Sure.
So we received, they sent them in early May or even late April. The government, Japanese government, probably did not know what the water was. I mean, they were in panic still at that time. They were so busy trying to deal with this plant and trying to deal with those people in Fukushima too. So probably they didn't know what it was, what this water was, and why we had so many waters came from Thailand. And they didn't know what to do, how to receive them, where to deliver, probably. And that's, trying to be very nice. And so it was easier that the government of Thailand asked Dr. Emoto to deliver, because he is one individual person who could do that.
Well, on behalf of all my listeners in the United States and all over the world in over 60 countries, thank you so much to Dr. Mm-hmm. Emoto and your wonderful office for doing that to help the people of Fukushima. That's just wonderful. Just wonderful.
You're welcome. Yes. I would like to say thank you to Dr. Emoto, because he did everything possible to do this because he knew how important this water was. So he spent his own money to deliver the water. And he himself went to Fukushima to talk with this all these people to help receive the water and help us with the place where they can store the water. So many, more than 50 bottles of water. So well, 50,000 of bottles of water
on the
that time.
On the nuclear issue, our government here in the United States does things also that many people don't understand. And I'll give you a quick example. 2 years ago in 2013, this government here, the federal government, shut down all 8 radiation monitoring stations on the West Coast. So there's no federal radiation monitoring now of any radiation coming from Fukushima or anywhere. And the second,
do you know why that is?
Nothing. The scientists are still there. They're still, you know, drinking their coffee, eating their donuts, but collecting their paychecks. But that's it.
The
other thing.
Well, I guess they don't want people to know the truth.
Well, the second thing that happened is that they raised the allowable radiation standards from 1,000 milligrams of radiation per year to 10,000 milligrams of radiation per year.
Exactly. That's what they did in Japan, too.
Yeah, so
it's bad. It's really bad.
But
yeah.
this may shed some light on it. I'm sure you're familiar with the work of Scott Lemriel and his wonderful book, The Sairways Agenda, where he talks about the reptilian influences on our both governments around the world. For those who haven't read his book, I strongly urge you to check it out. It's spelled S-E-R-E-S Agenda. But one of the things that happened a few days ago, I don't know if you can look this up on YouTube, but there was a television program a couple days ago where President Obama appeared on air with Jerry Kimmel. Now, Mr. Kimmel's a comedian. And one of the first questions he asked him was late night. He said, Mr. Kimmel was interested in UFOs, and he said that was one of the first things he would have done. Mr. Kimmel would have done if he could have become president. He asked President Obama about that, and Mr. Obama was laughing. But he said was fascinating because he said that that the aliens basically keep a tight control on the information that they let us, the U.S. government, let out about aliens, and they very tightly control about what we say about it, and we don't do anything without their permission. That's roughly
what
he said. President Obama said that about 2 or 3 days ago, and actually you can watch the video of him. Now he's laughing, he's making it like a joke, but a lot of people are wondering, like, what the heck's going on? And if you go to Michael Sala's website, S-A-L-L-A, Dr. Michael Sala, he's in Hawaii at Exopolitics. I believe it's exopolitics.com or exopolitics.org. You can watch the video of President Obama laughing as he's saying that the aliens basically control the U.S. government, that they don't do anything without their permission. And this is exactly what Scott Lemriel has been saying in his Sairways Agenda, that the U.S. government's been controlled by these reptilians since 1954. So you wonder, you look at what they do, and then you ask yourself, what leader who cares about humanity would ever shut down all the 8 radiation monitoring stations on the U.S. West Coast, and then increase the amount of so-called acceptable radiation by 10 times for people here in the United States? If you were truly interested as a president. With your own free will in the future of humanity, you wouldn't do that, but he did. So a lot of people are wondering why our government makes those decisions, and I think Scott Lemriel is right. I think that a lot of leaders are simply controlled by these outside negative influences.
Probably, well, they either know or they may not know. The truth that they're controlled, but probably it's the truth that they're controlled. So I'm very sorry that's what's happening. I don't think only in the United States, but also around the world.
Correct.
I'm quite shocked to hear that President Obama would say that, like, publicly to people that...
He said that, like, made it like a joke.
He made it like a joke, but if you ask a psychologist, people often... When they joke about things like that, they're often telling the truth.
Truth.
And that's true.
And it's a way to get the message now. Now, According to Scott Lemriel, the Galactic Alliance has stepped. They're stepping in, and they're removing the controls that for decades has controlled this planet. So maybe it's a, I think it's a good sign, and I think it's a good sign.
But do you think? Do you think the benevolent extraterrestrial ambassador Trillian is trying to remove President Obama's imprint too, you think? Or
yes, I think. Well, I think it's across the board, but they have to be very careful, as Scott explains in his book, because we're dealing with a tyrannical race, the reptilians and the Greys, and they've done this to 21 other planets and at least 21 other star systems, where they come in, they control the elites, and then they take what they want in terms of resources off the planet, and then they blow it up. And that's what that's the path that this planet was on up until about 4 years ago, when under direction from the Prime Creator, God, if you will, the Galactic Alliance has stepped in, and they're slowly trying to influence the planet in a beneficial way, both for humanity and the reptilians and the Greys as well, to transform both them and us into the benevolent creatures that we are. Because the reptilians themselves, at one point, many, many years ago, they were also a benevolent species. It's kind of a long story, but what happened. But to kind of to sum it up on one point is that I think the Dalai Lama's right. The Dalai Lama said several years ago that evil as an experiment on planet Earth is ending. And that's how and why we are going into a new golden age. That's
Did Dalai Lama say when it will end completely, or does he know? Do you know?
Well,
maybe I should ask him.
Yeah, well, you can ask Ambassador Trillian. He's here, by the way. The he said that the a time frame is difficult because there's so many variables with people's free will.
So
it has
that's
to
why
be...
we have to create. We have to spread this love and gratitude all around the world.
Well, absolutely, that's true.
Oh, yeah,
that's
true.
And that's
the more
what...
people with love and gratitude, the faster the world will become peaceful.
That's right, and that's why I don't knock political leaders. I think that certainly President Obama and other governments around the world are doing the best they can within the parameters of what they know. But I do think that they've been unfairly and unduly influenced by negative influences that sometimes they don't even know about. So I disagree with many decisions, of course, but I don't criticize them. I think they're doing the best they can. But you know, we all do the best we can, actually.
That's true.
All of us as humans. So I don't criticize them.
Yeah, you know, Ted, I wanted to mention to you that I don't know if you're following the news too closely, like international news on what's going on in Brazil, but we're going through a very, very difficult period right now. There is a lot of riots and people are going out on the streets and complaining and getting really upset about what's happening with the government and corruption and politics. I mean, it's a big mess what's happening in our country right now. But I actually tend to think that this is a part of a cleaning up process that is happening, and I hope is going to be in the entire planet, because I believe, as you said, we are at the dawn of a new age, the golden age, and it's going to be, we will be in a place where there is a lot of spiritual people really influencing our world. And I believe that this whole cleanup process is part of what is needed, of what is required in order for us to create a new level of consciousness. So the whole thing starts from the base. And that means I truly believe that if each person, instead of trying to really criticize what's happening outside and get mad and whatever, if each person would really focus on being a good person themselves and changing the way they operate and, you know, creating love and gratitude themselves, we could change the world in a minute. Because if each person did that themselves, then we don't have a lot of work. And I think a lot of what Dr. Emoto was creating with the Peace Project and all of his work through the messages of water is talking about that. It's talking about how we can make a big change if we focus on the change ourselves.
It's just 10%. If only 10% of the whole universe, whole world, whole population
will make a change.
Changes. then the entire world will change just like this.